scripture reading, will you turn to the book of Jonah? Jonah chapter 1. I was thinking as that hymn was being sung that I believe part of that comes from the first prayer I believe is recorded in Scripture, the prayer of Jacob, in which, among other things, he says, "I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies." And how conscious we are as believers of the sin and failure in our life of how very real in our experience is the fact that it's very, very easy to get away from the Lord. But praise God, there is a way back. I was thinking of the 119th Psalm as I was hearing the messages this afternoon, and the first verse of the 119th Psalm says something to this effect: "Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way of the Lord." That's the way it begins. But the last verse of that psalm, verse 176, says this: "I have gone astray. I've gone astray like a lost sheep." He didn't say he was a lost sheep. He said, "I've gone astray just like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant." And that's the message of the Bible, that we may go astray, but God seeks us when we go astray. It isn't the sheep that finds itself its way back to the fold. It's the fact that the shepherd goes after the sheep until he finds it. And one lovely hymn that we sing, I often think of, written by P.P. Bliss, who died in a railway accident at the age of 38. He sang many of his lovely hymns, but one of them goes like this: "Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me." We'll read this afternoon from the 17th verse of the first chapter. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. We've been thinking about sinners and their failures, and saints and their failures, and I was thinking of this illustration from Scripture of a man who was disobedient to the express will of God, and he turned his back upon God and his will for his life at that particular moment. But there is a way back to God, and God is the one who finds the way back for us. Here is Jonah. He's running away from God as far and as fast as he's able to go, And God is running after him. Like the old fellow said when he was asked to give his testimony, he said that he ran as far and as fast as he could away from God all of his life. He said that was his part in his salvation. And he says, God ran after me until he caught me. That was his part in my salvation. And how true that is. By nature, we run away from God. All we like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Here is Jonah away from God, disobedient to God. The mariners tremendously afraid because of the great wind that had arisen. And Jonah, fast asleep, totally unconscious to the situation about him. He was asleep. And he's a picture, of course, of those believers who are asleep to their responsibilities. And someone has said, there is not much difference in appearance between a dead sinner and a sleeping saint, but there is a vital difference because one has life and the other has not. And here was Jonah, fast asleep. The shipmaster had to come and wake him up and said, wake up, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Don't you know this storm has arisen upon us? And we remember the story how they cast lots. Jonah confessed what he had done, and he was thrown overboard. And we read that during the time of that great storm, these mariners were so afraid, it says, then cried every man unto his God. But you don't read anything about Jonah praying. There's no recorded mention that Jonah prayed up to that moment. He confessed that he was responsible for what had happened. He had run away from God. And they threw him overboard. And there isn't any mention that Jonah prayed, even then. In this path of disobedience, perhaps he was ashamed and realizing he was away from God. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. And there was unconfessed sin in his life. And the thought of him going to Nineveh so repulsed him that he wasn't about at that moment to confess his wrong. But you know, there's an interesting thing that is said in that story, and that is that God used the very disobedience of Jonah and his confession that he was a servant of the true God to speak to these men. Because the Bible says that when they threw him overboard, and suddenly from a stormy sea, in a moment, there was a great calm. An oil calm, they say in the Bahamas. It says, then those men, those heathen, feared Jehovah exceedingly. You know, it's a wonderful thought to me that even in spite of our sin and failure, God in his marvelous providence can use even that to glorify his great name. These men were literally frightened to God. God sometimes uses the storms of life to frighten men to him. Jonah was apparently for 3 days and three nights in this heart of the fish. apparently it was more or less at the end of that time that he had a prayer meeting. And we've been hearing how God deals with those who come to that point in their life when they bring their burden to him. We've been reminded from the 51st Psalm, have mercy upon me, O Lord. We've been reminded from the Epistle of James, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the prayer of faith is not something that's a funny feeling that we have, but the Scripture says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Elijah's prayer was answered because he built his prayer upon what God had expressly declared he would do if the people turned to idolatry. And we can count on that God will, and he does, answer prayer. But an interesting thing to me is this, that the Lord left Jonah locked up in his circumstances until he prayed. Did you notice that? Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. And God didn't do anything to get him out of his circumstances until he prayed. That tells us something of how important it is to bring our burdens to the Lord. God doesn't always deliver us from our circumstances, but he delivers us in our circumstances, certainly, because he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and the floods, they shall not overflow thee. I can imagine those mariners standing on that boat. Now there was a great calm, and they see Jonah swallowed up, and they said, well, goodbye, Jonah. It's been nice to know you. That's the end of Jonah. There's no way for him out of those circumstances. He can just forget it. That great fish has swallowed him up, and he's not about to return him post-paid or anything else. No way out. You ever been locked in circumstances where it just doesn't seem like there's any way out of the difficulty? That was Jonah's situation exactly. Then Jonah prayed. And there's a wonderful verse of Scripture that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. And this suggests to us that the key to opening heaven is prayer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps you're here today still in your sins, and it just seems like there's no way out that God can deliver you, but God's promise is sure. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy and he will abundantly pardon. There's no ifs about it. It's an absolute assurance of the Word of God. By the way, Jonah's prayer is the first one recorded from a submarine. There have been a lot of recorded prayers in submarines since, I suppose, but it tells us that there is no such thing as a hopeless case. Jonah, 3 days, the heart of that great fish, and he prayed unto the Lord. Strange setting for a prayer. But you remember the words of the apostle in Timothy, says, I will that the men pray everywhere. Does it make any difference whether you're on the mountaintop or on the bottom of the ocean? There is a God who answers prayer. There is no case that is hopeless. Why did he pray? If any man be afflicted, let him pray. Notice what it says. Verse 2. I cried by reason of mine affliction. That was the motivation for his prayer. I'm in a terrible spot here. We used to sing a hymn years ago. That when one of the verses went like this, blessed is the sorrow, kind the storm that drives us near home. Or we might say near him. And those troubles and trials and experiences of our life that drive us to our knees in prayer are just blessings in disguise. Notice what his testimony was. First of all, he testifies in the third person. He speaks as Psalm 23 does. He speaks of God in the third person. I cried, and he, third person, heard me. He heard me. But then he has the consciousness of God's presence. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. He changes it from the third person to the second person. You heard my voice. He's conscious that the Lord is listening. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a difference that makes in the circumstances of life. God has promised in his word, or indicated in his word, that the humble and the contrite heart he will not despise. God's hand was heavy upon him day and night. He was conscious of God's dealings with him. It's a terrible thing to have God against us. Even though when he is against us, he is really for us. The Scripture says God resists the proud And when he was walking in pride and in dependency of God, everything was going wrong. God sent that wind. He whipped up that storm. God had prepared a great wind. But the purpose of that wind was not to drive Jonah away from God. It was to bring him to that position in his life when he would cry to the Lord for mercy. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Notice what he says in verse 3. He does not say, the mariners threw me overboard. He looks behind the mariners and he sees the hand of God in his circumstances. Thou hadst cast me into the deep. He says, all thy waves and thy billows passed over me. That's a wonderful thing when we can see the hand of God in our circumstances and not blame our circumstances on second cause. Paul does not say he's a prisoner of Nero. He says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Job does not say that the Sabaeans came and the Chaldeans came and the windstorm came and all of that stuff. He doesn't say any of that. He says, the Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a difference it makes when we realize the author of our circumstances. And I often think that sometimes of that hymn, when we get home to heaven, we're going to look back over life's way and many things that we do not understand now. And the hymn writer says, I'll bless the hand that guided, and I'll bless the heart that planned, when throne where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Conscious of his departure from God, Jonah now says, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. We may be rejected of men, but we're never forsaken of God, because God has said that can never happen. We all know that lovely verse in Hebrews 13 where it says, he has said, what has he said? He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Earthly friends may fail and leave us. One day soothe, the next day grieve us, but this friend will never leave us. Oh, how he loves. What a consciousness this brings, and a conscious enjoyment to the soul. No believer can ever be forsaken. The Lord Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? But no believer can ever say that. In verse 4, he now realizes that there's only one to turn to, and he says, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He says, Lord, I'm on the outside looking in, but he says, I'm going to look back to you. And that's the answer to the difficulty. The answer is not turning away from the Lord, it's turning to the Lord. I will look again. He gives a description of his dire circumstances. As the waters compass me, the depths close me round about. I heard one fellow say that before he was saved, he says, I had to reach up to touch bottom. And sometimes we may feel that way in our experience. We're way, way, way down. Jonah, in this case, I went down to the mountains, and he says, in praise to God, yet hast thou brought up my life. I love the 40th Psalm. Of course, I know it's the Messianic Psalm, but I love what it says because it's often so true to our own experience. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, brought me up also out of a horrible pit, put my feet on a rock, established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He brought me up. This is what Jonah said. He brought me up. Loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred, but when I took him at his word, forgiven, he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, but my soul I know 'tis well, yet how or why, I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. We not only have a new life, but we have a new lift. It raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Jonah was way, way down. And the reason was, He had forgotten God. I want you to notice what he prayed and to whom he prayed. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. You know, here was Jonah praying. He was overboard inside of this fish, and nothing had happened yet. He was praying, and still nothing had happened. Here are Paul and Silas in prison at Philippi. And the scripture says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God. There they were in that situation. Their backs had been lacerated by the whip of that Roman jailer, and God didn't do anything to intervene. They were put in those stocks, and God didn't do one thing to intervene. They might have said, where is the Lord? But the scripture says, at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. You know, when the Christian is praying and praising, something happens. You know, sometimes we're sighing instead of singing. And these men could have been sighing, but instead of sighing, they were praying and singing. And God brought them up. And here he is. He says, my soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord. And then he says this, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He not only prays, he begins to praise. Praise the Lord! Wait a minute, Jonah. You're way, way down here in the heart of that great fish. This is no time for a praise meeting. And he says, salvation is of the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's the one who's able to deliver. And the word of the Lord came to that fish. Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah. You know how to speak fish language? Sometimes some of our language is fishy. But fish language, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Psalm 8 says, why, he commands the fish in the sea. He says to this fish, now listen, I want you to report at a certain time tomorrow morning at the Sea of Galilee, because a fisherman's coming down and he's going to throw a hook. And don't forget, pick up that gold coin that's somewhere in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, because he's going to need that. Well, that's kind of handy, you know, where you can command the fish of the sea. How great is our God? He likes to take the things which are nothing, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And when Jonah began to pray, why, the scripture tells us he really pleased God then. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate or share what you have, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The sacrifice of a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. Why, here were a couple of sacrifices that Jonah brought to the Lord. A broken and a contrite heart and a thankful and a praising heart. God says he delights in that. And here he is on dry land. And I like this. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us? So often we give up on ourselves, but God doesn't give up on us. Paul says to Barnabas, don't bring that fellow Mark along with you. He's a pain in the neck. He's been nothing but trouble. We don't want him along. And they have a big argument. It's recorded in Acts 15. We can't stand Mark. Barnabas takes Mark, and his name means the son of consolation and encouragement. I don't know what he did with Mark, but Paul says in his last letter to Timothy, bring Mark with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. In Matthew chapter 12, there's a quotation from the book of Isaiah. God is speaking. He says, behold, my servant, my beloved. He's referring to his son. And he says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. You know, in those days, they used reed instruments. They would go down by the riverside, and they'd get a reed, and they'd cut it, and they'd blow through it and bring sweet music out of it. But when it was bruised, what's the sense of keeping it? Just throw it away and pick up another one. But a bruised reed shall he not break. And there have been those of us, perhaps, at one time, there was sweet music being produced from our lives for God. And he didn't throw us away. He just tenderly reshaped that and brought it back into roundness again. Smoking flax shall he not quench. They used flax in those days in their oil lamps as the wick. He doesn't put it out. The light has become dim. But he takes the scissors and he cuts out that dark part of it so that that which once now was giving darkness, now again is to give light. And I'm glad that the word of the Lord comes the second time and the third time. He restores my soul. May God bless to us his word. Shall we pray?